It is my great privilege and a responsibility to bring you the Word of God this morning. There's a verse in James that tells us, be careful about being many teachers, because we're going to have to give an account. So I think through these messages and the things I say, and I pray that they'd be a blessing. Before we go to our message, I want to talk to you about our week at camp. First of all, I want to thank you so very much for praying. Many of you, if not all of you, have been praying for Fenton team at camp last week. And we sensed your prayer. When I got up to speak, I could feel something was different. For me personally, this was the best year of speaking down there. I will also say that as a church leader, as an elder, how very pleased and proud I was to see the beauty of the Fenton team serving. Many gave up their weeks of going on vacation to serve at camp. The cooking team was excellent. I gotta say, you guys are my heroes. The speaker has the easiest job there. I speak once in the morning and once in the evening, and then the rest of the time I have free time. To see somebody like Daniel Johns, an engineer, give up his week of vacation, following in his dad's footsteps. Bob was a counselor for decades. It was really something to behold. And the Lord blessed us. We want to thank you for your service. I talked to Jimmy this morning, Alicia. Jimmy wants you back. You did a great job. So make sure Junior 5. And I want to encourage you, if you would like to use your gifting, there's a wide variety of ways to serve at camp. Not only cooking, you can counsel, grounds. Dana was there. And there's a lot of stuff, a lot of upkeep. Pray for Jimmy. He's the speaker this week. Tonight at 8:30, he will be speaking. And then once in the morning and once in the evening, he's doing the 7 IMs. So we don't count heads. We felt the Holy Spirit moving. We think a lot of people either got saved or got assured. So pray for this week. Once again, thank you so very much. Parents, we had 120 kids on the waiting list this year. Registration starts on January 2nd. I would encourage you to register your children early. My introduction this morning has an introduction. You will find the outline on the back of the bulletin. Actually, this is what I would like to talk to us about this morning. You know, when you believe in Jesus for eternal life, many things happen. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sins are forgiven. You're given eternal life. But you are also baptized, not the water kind, the spirit kind. You're baptized into the mystical body of Christ. Just like the body has many members, and we need them all. You know, the liver can't say, I think I'm going to take off this week. We need the function of the entire body of Christ. Just like we have one body in many parts, the church is one body of believers. Let me begin with an illustration. Let's say a young couple, it's their first year of marriage, it's their first Christmas, the husband is waiting and investigating what gift he would like to give his wife on their first Christmas. So he plans, he purchases, he wraps it, and the day finally comes, and he gives her that gift. And to his chagrin, she's not overly impressed. As a matter of fact, she takes the gift, brings it to her room, and never opens it. And he's waiting and waiting. And how do you think that husband would feel giving a special gift to his wife who never opens it, never uses it, never appreciates it? Beloved, you have a gift. You were given a gift on the day you believed in Jesus for eternal life. Imagine how God feels when he gives gifts to his children and they never open them or never use them. As I travel around the country, I'm amazed that most people not only don't even use their gift, they don't even know what their gift is. They come to church, suck up the air conditioning, eat the donuts, and go home, rinse and repeat, they're back. We're not saved by works, but once we're saved, we're created for good works. And just like a body will suffer if the parts don't work together, the body of Christ suffers when we do not use our gifting. So I would like to give you a challenge this morning. Usually we save the challenge for the end. Open your gift. You may have a serving gift, a speaking gift. I would like to challenge you to unwrap your gift and use it. I would like to direct your attention to the white shelves in the back. On that white shelf, there is a brochure for visitors. And on the back of this brochure, there's many areas that you can serve here in the local church. And not only here, out in the community, Iwana, there's Iwana, chapel events and kitchen, education, evangelism and missions, facilities. We need somebody to take the baton and manage the cleaning of this place. Not clean it, but just manage it. Finances, hospitality and compassion, music, nursery, pastoral and prayer, prayer requests, prison ministry, Sunday school, support meals, youth ministries, on and on and on. Don't be a pew warmer. Unwrap your gift and use it so you will be great in God's kingdom. Albert Pujols didn't one day walk on the field of Busch Stadium and say, I want to play baseball. Obviously, he was given great talent and ability, but what did he have to do to get to this point? He had to exercise his gift. He had to hone his hitting and catching and all kinds of things. We're given a gift at salvation, but we need to exercise. We need to use our gifts to become proficient in it. And so the title of our message today is this: Be a vocal blessing. Your words matter. Words have power. Here's the outline. It's on the back of your bulletin. We're going to talk about how powerful words can be. Principles of good communication. Listen, if you were born again, we are in the communication business. We have the greatest story ever told at our disposal, and we have the great privilege to tell people how very much God loves them and how very much God cares about them. We are in the communication business. And today we want to talk about exercising our skills in communication, practical ways. I've chosen Psalm 78, verses 70 to 72. As you know, God raised up King David, and King David had some flaws, but he was a good shepherd. Psalm 78, starting in verse 70, says this: He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. He brought him from tending ewes to be shepherd over his people Jacob, over Israel, his inheritance. Now notice this last phrase. He shepherded them with a pure heart and guided them with his skillful hands. Today's message is about improving our skills with people. Developing skillful hands as we serve in the body of Christ. Beloved, it's one thing to know you have a gift. It's one thing to desire to use your gift. But we must desire to improve our people skills as we serve one another, or we will be most ineffective. You don't want to be an ineffective servant. We want to improve our people skills. Now you say, well, I'm not a church leader. Huh. Okay, elders need to improve, deacons need to improve their people skills. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, you work in Iwana, you work with camp ministry, women's ministry, or a parent. You know, I'm having more senior moments the older I get. How about that? The Puritans called the family the little flock. If you are a mom or a dad, you're in the people business. You're shepherding people. If you're an employee or employer, you have the ability to communicate. If you have neighbors, you're in the communication business. If you're in any of these, you're shepherding people, moms and dads. As Christians, we're not making automobiles. We are in the people business. And beloved, if you are a follower of Jesus, you must love what Jesus loves, and he loves people. And so if we're in the people business and our number one priority is communicating, we want to improve our people skills as we speak to them. And so as we serve together, we have to desire to continually improve. And I'm going to give you a list of areas. In teamwork, many people get offended in their church. I'm out of here. They leave. The church is the theater where we learn to grow up, where we learn to ask forgiveness when we've offended, or be patient when we've been offended. We're a body. We're a family. This is the theater. In communication, and this is our main message today, but not only these two, we need to improve our skills of leadership, not just church leadership. Maybe you lead a Bible study. You lead devotions with your kids. You lead a team at work. Skill. Personal organization. Many of our lives, it's just we take whatever comes down the pipeline. We have no organization. We have no plan to study all 66 books of the Bible. No goals for our family as a couple. Organization. And tact with people. Some Christians are like German shepherds on guard duty when it comes to tact. We need to improve in these skills. In one another ministry. And then the home. Boy, don't us older parents wish we had a reset button? I'd like to go back and start over with what I know now and what God has done with me. Shepherding skills. Many years ago in a Time magazine, there was an article entitled Why Educated, Intelligent People Fail and Why Others Succeed. And the number one and the number two slots of why people succeed is they had self-discipline and good people skills. We who serve in the body of Christ must desire to improve our people skills. From the Sunday school to the home to Awana to the workplace. Interesting observation. In preparing believers to use their spiritual gifts and serve God's people, much time is invested in these things: theology, hermeneutics, exegesis, counseling, Greek, Hebrew, all these things, all necessary. But when was the last time you went to a seminar on improving your people skills, particularly communicating? I mean, we have the greatest message in the world. Do you remember that phrase in the Great Commission? Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. If you are a believer, you are in the communication business, and we must learn to improve our skills. And that's what today's message is about. Here's the big idea. If you forget anything I say this morning, remember this. There is great power in gracious words and traumatizing power in harsh words. Words matter. Words are powerful, and we need to think before we speak. Roman numeral 2 in your outline, the power of words. It's unbelievable. As believers, beloved, our words have power. People pay attention to what we say or don't say. Our words have staying power in the lives we minister to. I've observed in my own life. Remember, I said I'd like to go back. I was more quick to be harsh with words and critical. Our words have power, amazing power for good, but they also have power for bad. Words matter. Remember when we were growing up as kids? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a bunch of baloney. Words hurt. People go to their graves remembering what their dad or some employee or employer said to them. Bruises from rocks and branches heal, Sometimes we take words to our grave, words that hurt us from people that meant a lot to us. Just ask an adult who was verbally abused as a child if words matter. You better believe they do. Abuse is not just physical. It can be emotional. Words matter. Just ask a battered wife if words matter. Words are powerful. There is great power in gracious words and traumatizing power in harsh words, beloved. The Proverbs have a lot to say about the tongue and about words. Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Wow. That says a lot, doesn't it? You know, it's a little thing, says James. We could start fires that destroy homes, destroy churches with our tongues. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, this is what I'd like to focus on. Our words cost us nothing. It takes little time or energy to bless others with our words, but the results can be amazing. You know what I'm talking about when you do a job here or at home and your wife says, man, you did a great job. Or the husband says to the wife, this meal is amazing. Or if you've given a message in Awana, right on, man, you nailed it. How do you feel? It's like somebody put liquid energy into your tank. We have the amazing power as Christians to bless people with our words and tell them how much God loves them, how important they are to God. Words cost us nothing. And in a fallen world where people are verbally battered, we have the opportunity to bless them with gracious words and tell them how very much they matter to God. Many people who come up those steps on Sunday morning are hanging on by their fingernails. They don't need to be whacked upside the head with a message. They need to be told, here's what God's word says. Here's how much God loves you. Here's how you matter to God. God is not scandalized by your depravity. That's right. He already knows everything bad about us, and he still loves us. If you're struggling with your depravity, don't run from God, run to him. He's not scandalized by it. He will walk you through. Now, there's a problem here. You see, to bless people with our words requires a paradigm shift. I've always wanted to be a CEO, not of a company. I've always wanted to be a Christian who encourages others. And I'm still working on that after all these years. To do this requires a paradigm shift. We need to focus from ourselves to others. We need to be encouragers. First Thessalonians, Paul, I call Paul the spiritual diplomat. You know, he was an apostle. He could have pulled out his apostle card at any time and commanded people, but that wasn't what he did. Encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. Encourage one another. May I encourage you to adopt, I don't know what I can do in the church. Let me tell you. Here's an illustration, or not an illustration, an example. Get here a half an hour early so you could look around and use your words to encourage people. Go to your Sunday school teacher and say, wow, my kid comes home, he's learning so much. Go to the music people, thank you for working so hard. People that bring you meals. Don't just come in, sit down. Come early, stay late. We don't care how long you stay. Use words to encourage people. C.S. Lewis said this about encouraging others, about focusing attention away from ourselves. Humility is not thinking less of yourselves. It is thinking of yourselves less. In other words, when you come in here, change your focus from self to others. Look around. Who needs a word of encouragement? Who's going through a divorce? Who's been battered this week? Who's hanging on by their fingernails? Lord, lead me to that person. Come early. Stay late. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I have some practical suggestions coming later. Now, you know I'm a quote guy. You see the quotes every week in the bulletin? Commercial break. Somebody 2 weeks ago said, I didn't even know our church had a bulletin. They're right there on the back of the white shelves near the black box with the slit where we put our offerings. Grab a bulletin. This is my favorite, well, top five favorite quotes. You'll see why in a minute. I love this quote. And I present it to you as a challenge. George Adams says, encouragement is the oxygen of the soul. You see the great privilege we have to breathe oxygen in people's souls, to build them up. Listen, during the week we're hammered at crazy bosses and people cursing at us, other motorists, you know, trying to teach us sign language, and we come in here. We have the opportunity to have a spiritual oxygen tank and put it on people. Encouragement is the oxygen of the soul. But we need to start noticing people. Here's the paradigm shift, right? Come early. Stay late. Look around. The most content people, in my observation, are those who focus on others. The most miserable people are selfish. All about me. Start noticing people. Paying attention to others is a sign of spiritual growth. But you need to be intentional. You're not going to back, what the, how did I become an encouraging person? Man, thank you. No, you work at it. Be intentional. Investing in others is not going to happen accidentally. Be an encourager in your local church. Don't be like Linus Van Pelt. Remember Linus in the Peanuts cartoon? I have to confess that I can relate to Linus. I'm embarrassed about it. He said back in 1959, I love mankind. It's just people I can't stand. Many pastors across America, this is their mantra. I love big crowds. It's just I can't stand people. But if we're going to follow Jesus, we must, wouldn't you agree with me? We have to love what he loves. And he loves us with our spines and prickles and everything. Our tendency is, I don't like that person. They offended me back in 1979. I remember that. I got it down, right? I know what 1 Corinthians says, we shouldn't keep a record of wrongs, but, you know, I'm me after all, so I can do it. Don't do that. In the gospel, I love this about Jesus. In the Gospels, Jesus not only dealt with the crowds, but often focused on individuals. I love this phrase. You remember the woman that was sick for 18 years? When I read this passage, it brings tears to my eyes. This phrase, when Jesus saw her. Jesus not only dealt with big crowds, he dealt with individuals. He noticed people within the crowd. I want to challenge you this morning. Here's a big crowd right here. Start focusing on individuals. Somebody's struggling with cancer. Economically, they've been fired, they're divorced, they're going through a problem. Focus, see them. Be a CEO. CEO, a Christian who encourages others. Number three, principles of good communication. Let's begin. Number one, learn to speak gently, calmly, graciously, and tactfully. This is a lifelong endeavor. I've been working on it and I just can't get it down. But I want to be intentional. I want to be gentle. I want to be calm, gracious, tactful. Listen to what Proverbs says. A gentle answer turns away anger, but harsh words stirs up wrath. It's so easy to go carnal. Well, I told him, you know, I told him, here's his problem, here's how to fix it. What is he, an idiot? You know, don't be like the Baptists. Baptists have code words, right? Bless his soul. You know, that really means he's an idiot. Learn to be gentle, kind, and gracious. A gentle answer turns away anger. Now, we're going to look at a series of verses in the Proverbs. The Proverbs have a lot to say on the subject of words and the tongue. Let's begin. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks rashly like the piercing of a sword. Is that how you lie? Somebody comes to me with a problem. Oh, what are you, an idiot? You got to do this, A, B, C. Don't come back. No, people don't want that. We don't want to be like a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's what we want to do. We want to help people heal from that crazy world that they come out of and come up those steps on Sunday, hanging on by their fingernails. Pleasant speech increases learning. You know, I'll just tell you my own personal testimony. When people speak to me gently and kindly, they have my ear. They could be criticizing me, but when they come pointing a finger and they're harsh, it's like a little circuit breaker goes off in my head, and all I hear is wah, 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 wah. Pleasant speech increases learning. When I preach, as I said, you know, there was a day when I used to, oh, you fire and brimstone, you got to change, you're terrible. That doesn't work. Guilt doesn't motivate people. How do we know that? Pleasant, you want to teach people? Be kind, smile, be gracious. Yes, we need to teach the truth, but wrap it up in grace. That's how you deliver it. As a father, I noticed that for every 10 times I scolded my children, I encouraged them. That's why I like to go back and flip that. Yes, there are times when our children need encouraging, and we men are particularly, not all of us, but some of us, we're real quick to scold and hesitant to build them up. Man, you know, you're in charge of taking out the trash at our house. You do a good job. Way to go on cleaning your room. Way to go on getting a better grade in math. Look for ways to build them up. There's another proverb that says a gentle tongue can break a bone. Have you ever wondered what this means? Bones are hard and it takes a big force to break them. You see the power we have with gentle words? You want to teach somebody? You want to confront them? Use gentle words. It's like the power that breaks a bone. A lot of wisdom here in the Proverbs. As you know, the Apostle Paul is one of my heroes. He was a spiritual diplomat. He had a deal with the Corinthians. He should get 100 crowns just for that. To the, you know how carnal the Corinthians were, fighting, carnality, immorality. He could have lambasted them, pulled out his apostle card, do what I say, what's wrong with you idiots? That's not his way. Look what he says. Now I, Paul, myself appeal to you. How? By the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Don't you love that? What a spiritual diplomat. When you have to say harsh or hard words to somebody, be like Paul. Be a spiritual diplomat. Yes, when people know we love them, we can say hard things to them, but do it this way. Go with your heart in your hand. Appeal in meekness and gentleness. Colossians 4:6, the same apostle. Let your speech sometimes, yeah, always. Let your speech always be gracious. Oops, especially us husbands, right? Let your speech always be gracious. Season it. You like food with taste in it? Don't you just love it? Get a little salt in there, a little of this, a little of that. It brings the flavors alive. Paul uses that metaphor. Use that with your words. Season your words with salt. If you have to go and rebuke somebody, and don't do this in a fake way, tell them two or three things that they're really good at. If you just parachute down and have no history in somebody's life and you just want to rebuke them, that doesn't work. Be telling them how good they've been doing, your children. Then they're more open when it's time for a rebuke. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you should answer each person. Be wise. Be a good communicator. Hindrances to good communication. Let's take a look at a couple. Do you like to be lectured? I don't like to be lectured. I don't think you like it either. You like to be preached at? What's wrong with you? I've told you 100 times not to do that. Is that a good way to communicate? Look at the girl's picture there. What's she doing? Rolling her eyes. You don't like to be lectured. Don't do it to anybody else. Don't monopolize a conversation. If you ever go into dinner with somebody and they know everything about the food, the weather, the location, You know, when Jesus is coming back, and it's like, will he just stop talking? Don't be that guy. Listen. Whenever I don't do this perfectly, but I try to just use my words minimally. How'd you get saved? Blah, 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 blah. What about you? I want to hear your story. People want to express their thoughts. Don't monopolize the conversation. Don't be easily angered. I wonder why people don't come to me anymore. Hello, right? It's so easy to become angered or argumentative. Do you know people? You can say, you know, it's really a nice sunny day. But yeah, but you know, the rain's coming and it's humidity and da-da-da. Don't be that guy. Nobody wants to be around you if you're argumentative. Well, I believe in the rapture. Oh, that's all. You know, they don't want to hear a half-hour lecture against your view. Don't be argumentative. Are we approachable? Hey, I wonder why I don't have any friends. I wonder why I don't have a ministry in my church. I wonder what the problem is. Could it be you? You're a little prickly? Are you approachable? That's one thing we've always worked on here as elders. We want to be approachable. We don't want to be prickly. Maybe you're prickly. Maybe we need to start pulling out those thorns. Number three, seek to be a good listener. We just talked about this. James informs us about the mouth. Guys, two ears, one mouth. Listen twice as much as you talk. It's a good way to do it. Don't be the guy or the gal who monopolizes the conversation. My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to what? Listen. We humans were the opposite. Wah, 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 wah. You go to lunch with people, you just, oh, Lord, save me. Save me from this. My wife and I have a, I shouldn't say this, but my wife and I have a code system, you know. Save me from this conversation, please. I'm about to die here. Don't be that, right? People want to be heard and understood. Listen to them. Ask lots of questions. Show real interest in their lives. And tell me about yourself. Pay attention. Draw them out so you understand them clearly. Pay attention to people when you talk to them. You know, being present is an amazing gift. Look people in the eyes. I struggle with this. I really do. I confess that I do. Be present, not only physically, but emotionally. Look at them. Bless them with your attention. Don't be trying to get out of a conversation to get on to the next one. Look them in the eye. Pay attention. Ask questions. Draw them out. There's a book I really like. It's called Replenish. By Lance Witt. Listen to this. All kinds of people are just waiting to be noticed to have someone pay attention to them. Every day we pass people who stand up straight, shake your hand, smile, and make small talk, but deep down they're crippled. They almost always try to hide it, but inside they are emotionally bent over. Just assume that almost everybody you're talking to is that person. They need encouragement. They may look happy, shake your hand, and smile, but inside they're crippled. They've been beaten up, they're battered, they're discouraged, they're getting ready to throw in the towel. I love the word intentional. Beloved, let's be intentional about improving our skills, our listening skills. Let's close now with our final point, practical ways to bless with your words. Be generous with your words. Oh, I'm an introvert. Yeah, get over it. We are in the communication business. Use words generously. Tell people. Don't assume people can read your mind. Don't be like the guy who said, hey, I told my wife the day we got married that I loved her. Why do I need to tell her anymore? Don't assume that people can read your minds. Tell people that you appreciate them. Honey, that was a great meal. Thank you beloved, for being such a good provider for our home, for teaching my kids Sunday school, for bringing me a meal when I'm in the hospital, et cetera, et cetera. Let people know you love them and you see what they're doing. Let's be a church that encourages people. Let's be CEOs in our church. Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. You're like a spiritual doctor. You're not using a scalpel, you're using words to encourage. Be an encourager. Someone has said there's a broken heart in every pew. And it's true. See, being an elder, I know a lot more about you than most people. There's a broken heart in every pew. Come early, stay late. Encourage people. Use words. Be generous with your words. Who to encourage? The elderly, the sick, obviously. Sunday school teachers, youth workers, music group, the elders, deacons, new members. Let me just pause there. When you see somebody in this church walk in that you've never seen before, you should drop everything you're doing and treat that like a red blinking light. Go over to that person. Listen, one day I went to preach at a church, and I entered in, and the door squeaked, and I walked in, and there was a holy huddle over there. And this holy huddle, I kid you not, they looked at me, and I was standing there all by myself, and they went back to their holy huddle like, who's this idiot? Don't be that holy huddle. When you see people downstairs at donut time that you have not seen, make it your job to be a CEO in their lives. When you see people walking up the steps, make it your job. It's not the job of the elders. It's all of our jobs. Get out of your comfort zone and become a CEO. The suffering, new members. Send a card of appreciation. Don't use an email. Ink and paper. Send them a card. Send a card to your Sunday school teacher, to your neighbor who just got home from the hospital. Anybody, have your radar on. Who needs encouragement? Buy a box of cards. Have them ready. They encourage people. Don't send an email. It's impersonal. Number four, use your phone. Make a few calls every day. Who's shut in? Who's in the hospital? Who's discouraged? Who's going through a terrible divorce? Who's just returned from the far country? Use your imagination. Use your phone. Encourage people. And then take people to lunch. Sit across the table. Buy them lunch. Encourage the next generation. We're very big at our church. As you can see, we're aging out. We need new Sunday school teachers, new elders, new deacons. We're ready to pass the baton. Take somebody. We need ladies in the kitchen. We need people for that whole list that I just read on the back of that thing. So let's close. When you leave here today, here's the big idea. You have the great power to bless with your words. There is great power in gracious words, and there's traumatizing power in harsh words. I want to encourage you to use your gifts. Unpack it, unwrap it. Be like Albert Pujols and start exercising it and become a CEO in our church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us the greatest message in the universe. Thank you for giving us the blessing to use our words for good. Lord, help us to be intentional in improving our people skills as we serve you and as we serve one another. Lord, I pray that this Sunday there's a shifting away from ourselves, that we would skillfully and intentionally become a church that vocally blesses those around us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.